Parts of Aira, you gotta see the pasuk first in Parts of Aira. I know, it's not Parts of Aira, it's Parts of Aira, right?
Yep.
I know, I got that one. Parts of Aira starts off, and it says, I'm very proud of you. Va'era El Avram. Va'era El Avram, El Yitzchak Ve'El Yaakov. I appear to Avram, to Yitzchak, to Yaakov, to El Shakoi, with the name of El Shakoi. Ushmi Hashem Lom Dati Lem, and I never told him my name of Yud Kev Avkei. Rashi says, why does it say by El Avram, the El Yitzchak, the El Yaakov? Just say El Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, right? So I say El by each one. So Rashi says, "Va'era El Avos," to the Avos, but doesn't explain himself. He doesn't explain what it means by El Avos. He doesn't say anything whatsoever. The pshat is the following: every Shmoneh Esrei, you get up there, you say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. I'm pretty sure it's the exact same God. To the best of my knowledge, you don't believe in a Trinity, and it is Elokei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. We say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov because each one of them was matzliach and finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu in their own unique way. Because even if they wouldn't have had their father as their father, they still would have found a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak Avinu still would have been as great even if he didn't have Avram as a dad. Yaakov Avinu would still have been as great even if he didn't have Yitzchak as a father and Avram Avinu as a grandfather. They each would have found their way even without their father, and that's the pshat by the word Av. They were all Avos. They were all prototypes. They were all people that desired to be together with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in that way. So,
isn't it proved otherwise? The fact that they had an Ishmael and they had an Esav,
that shows that it's not the father, it's them. Exactly. It was them themselves.
Ishmael and Esav aren't evil because they were born that way. They had no choice.
No. Nothing to do with being born that way. Nothing. They worked on themselves and they made themselves into something. It wasn't because of their father.
Yeah.
That's the point. Yeah. Now, we try not to. Then it's Siv explained to us already, and we explained this a little bit, that Avram, everyone understands, but I love it. Avram is the Ish Rabbi. Ish Rabbi, you don't understand. I went into an Ish Shir this past week. Yesterday, I walked into the Ashir, and I saw exactly what I'm talking about over here. The rabbi said, "That's great! That's awesome! Unbelievable!" He was 40 times more exciting than I was. I don't want to say who it was, because it's going to be online. But like, all lovey-dovey, like, loving the guy and everything, like, hugging the guys, like, everything's all good. That's a little inappropriate. But either way, like, everything was all good. That's Avram Avinu, an absolute pure chesed that he pulls in everybody. But here's the difference. He fights to the death with anyone who disagrees. You come in and you say, "I don't believe in God, there is no God." He'll fight you to the death and he'll say, "You're absolutely dead wrong," and he'll, boom, knock you out. Absolutely destroy you. The pshat is that Avram Avinu was great, Nachras Zorch, and we know that from Parshas Vayera. We know how great he was with other people. But he also was known for his war against the four kings. He threw dirt against the four kings. Who throws dirt when you're in the middle of a war? Who does that? He's the man of war. I know, all of a sudden it's like that was shocking. I don't know if Avram Avinu knew. Who knew if Avram Avinu knew? The concept is that Avram Avinu was the guy who was able to do pure chesed and fight those who wouldn't do it. That's why he called the Beis Hamikdash a har. He called it Har Yeraeh. Why? Because of vantage point. He stood up on top of the mountain and looked down to see everybody who was down there to be able to fight them. That was the guy who was able to do everything the best. That's the concept of the heart, looking around what everybody else needs. Yitzchak is a bit more complicated. Over the past couple weeks, we've talked about him being the korban, who doesn't belong in Olam Hazeh. He's the only guy who's able to become a korban. He can't see because he's not roy to see. He's not supposed to see things in this world. He seems to be the nebuch, the guy without a parsha, the guy who's like, "Oh, this poor guy, he gets half a toldos." And even then, all he does is digs wells that his father dug, and he goes down to the plishtim and does exactly what his dad did by calling his wife his sister. It's a strange thing. That's what Yitzchak Avinu is all known for copying his dad. What exactly is it? The pshat is, we spoke about Yitzchak Avinu being so great. His whole birth was a pella. Malachim had to come along and tell everybody that he was going to be born. Sodom was destroyed before he was born. Sarah had to laugh for him to be born. Avimelech had to pretend that it was his child and there were late sonim coming out. Yitzchak was not a person who should have been in this world. In order for him to be in this world, there had to be a little bit of a change. There had to be more kedusha in the world. There had to be a little bit of a fooling of the suffering in order for Yitzchak Avinu to be here. His relationship with Rivka is different than it was by any other office, we said. He is pure Gevurah, pure Yira, pure Midas Adin. He's Tachad Yitzchak, and he called the Beis HaMikdash a Sodeh. He called Ve'ite Yitzchak L'suach Pasad. What's a Sodeh? Sodeh is a place where you make your money. Yitzchak went to make his money in his fields. That's Parnassah, because Parnassah, no matter how much you think you're putting in your Ishtablus and everything's there, guys, it was decided on Rosh Hashanah what you would make for the year. Do you believe that it was decided, or do you not believe it was decided? decided. If it was decided, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Your Ishtablus is necessary only in the smallest little bit of a form so our Kaddish Baruch Hu can give it to you in a non-Nebuchy way. But even if you wouldn't do anything, you'd win a lottery ticket. It's already been decided in Rosh Hashanah. That's the concept of Yitzchak Avinu, that it's all B'yad Hashem. No matter what your Ishtablus is, he plants a seed, he makes Me'asharim. You ever been to Me'asharim? It's an awesome place. That's that. Then there's Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, the short bracha, Ata Kadosh, Shimcha Kadosh, that's his. He called it Beis El. That's what he calls it in the sixth parsha. It's a place where it's a bias. A bias is a place where you feel protected. You feel like you're at peace with yourself. You don't have to worry. Yaakov Avinu was running away from Laban, Esav, and later on he had a whole incident with Shechem. He never fights a single person. And when people fight, he gets angry at them. What were you doing? Why did you fight? He's the man of absolute shalom. He calls it Shar HaShemayim, the gate of the heavens. Not the doorway of the heavens, Pesach HaShemayim. The Shar HaShemayim, because anyone can walk through a gate. A door you might have to open up, but a gate anybody can walk through. It's Shayach for everyone. His Midah is Tiferes and Rachamim. He's a combination of Ava and Yira, which is the whole essence of the world. Maybe that's the whole reason why he's the combination that everybody wants to get to. MS? Din, which is Torah, and Shalom, is Yaakovina, which is Mekayim, the world, the last mission of the first part of Pirkei Avos.
I said his ultimate love. And that's Avram. Avram went and fought and killed people, right?
Yeah.
Quite a warrior.
Chesed is not kindness, it's extremes.
That's what I'm saying. So you're saying that Chesed in an extreme can be
destroyed.
Fatal. I mean,
yeah. You can destroy.
And then you're saying, so Yaakov
is the exact opposite.
So Rachim
is not to
save lives.
Exactly. It's not to fight. It's not to be able to fight. The Ramban says in the beginning of Parshat Yishlach that Yaakov Avinu's whole life was about Golus and how we're supposed to fight Golus. It's a microcosm of what our whole lives are supposed to be. He went to Aram, then back to Eretz Yisrael, then down to Mitzrayim. We go to Babel, then we go back to Eretz Yisrael for the second base of Mikdash, and then we go into Golus Adel. His life is supposed to be what we do. How to get away from Rishayim, like tricks like Laban, and then hypocrites like Esau. The Kedusha Rim says Yaakov was mekaken marv with the words by Yifka b'makom in the second pasuk of the Sixth Parsha. He met up with the place. He just came there. Even when you're in Choshech and has Shrapanim and you don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you don't know what's going on. Everything seems confusing. We think we have absolutely no shaykhus whatsoever. We fall back on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, we just meet him, we just, God, it's yours. It's in your hands. Do whatever you want. That's called Pegiyah. We go without any reasoning. We don't expect any help, and we're just going to get it. That's what it is. Emes v'emuna is said at night. Emes v'yatsiv is during the day. V'emunascha b'alelos, it's emuna at night. While l'hagid b'boker chastecha, you can just tell about it during the day. We could be machazik ourselves in the choshech. That's Yaakov Avinu's power. He finds the racham u'kidoshim b'chol yom yalu chazel. We praise you no matter what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't care what the day brought. It might have been a really bad day. It might have been a really, really horrible day. But kidoshim b'chol yom yalu chazel. No matter how messed up it is, that's the power of Yaakov Avinu. And it's from Rechaim Tversky, the Rebbe Yitzchok Yeshiva. Shomer Hashem es kolo avav v'yizkor Hashem yashmir. Ritzoni rei av yasev Hashem es samishma v'yoshem. Karov Hashem mechol krov v'chol asher yikruv v'emes. Shomer Hashem es kolo avav, that's Avram Avinu. This is my little addition. O avav is the oing. Shomer Hashem es kolo avav, that's Avram Avinu. God watches out for all those who love him. They call her Shaim Yashmid, and then he knocks down all the enemies. Pretty unbelievable, right? Because that means he's the man of war. With Sony Ray of Yaakov, who's the Yirei of Hashem? Who is Yira of Hashem? That's Yitzchak. That Shabbat Sam Yishma B'Yoshim, and his davening will immediately be heard. So as soon as he starts something, boom, he's going to come out with Me'ashar. And then Avraham Avinu gets up. Yaakov gets up there. Karov Hashem Lechol Karov. God is close to anyone who calls out to him. Lechol Sheh Gruv Emes. As long as you call out with Emes. If you call it and you truly mean it, God is close to you. Think about this. That means you could be a robber of a bank. A robber of a bank with all the money in your hands, and it's surrounded by SWAT teams. And you could say to a Kaddish Baruch Hu right then and mean it, God, please save me. Please do something for me. And if he means it, he'll be answered. Because God is close to him. God is close to him.
Don't tease me, bro!
Does that mean you really want it, or you just don't want to be hurt? Right there. That's not the MS. The MS means you really mean it. I want to sit there and I want to say to myself, I'm Kaddish Baruch Hu, I don't want anything to happen to me. Nothing to happen to me, not because I'm worried about my body, because I want to serve you. You say the MS, you'll be like, what?
Maybe God will tell him no. That's also answering.
Karo Pasha. He's close to you. He's right there. No, it means he's right there. It doesn't mean that he'll save you in the sense that you'll get away with everything. But you'll have a better chance because you're closer to God than any of the other two. But and Oyev and Yirei Hashem...
Went to jail.
And Oyev Hashem and Yirei Hashem, granted, they might have to do a little bit more. But Karov Hashem, Makol Karov, that's what applies. And that's why Yaakov Avinu is known as Bakol for Avram Avinu, Mikol for Yitzchak Avinu, Kol for Yaakov Avinu. Karov Hashem, Lechol Karov. Because Yaakov Avinu said, Yesh Li Kol, he stands for that concept that it's Pega. It's like meeting up with a friend. There used to be a screen in between. You take away the screen, you just say, God, you're here. I just need you. It's you're falling and a plane is crashing into the ground and you just call it. It doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter all my inhibitions, all my problems, all my issues that I've had. If I'm crashing, God save me now. And that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers. That's the concept of why Yaakov Avinu's life is totally different from Yitzchak and Avram. You ever notice anything about Yitzchak and Avram in his life? They don't work a day for their money. Avinu just goes down to Mitzrayim, his wife is taken, the guy becomes the richest man of all time. The richest man of all time, he doesn't do a penny of work. Does not do anything. He gets everything. Yitzchak Avinu, he puts a little seed in the ground. Seed in the ground. No, granted, maybe.
I mean, that was pretty
good. The point is, he didn't work. Yitzchak Avinu puts one seed in the ground, he has Mea Sharim. And then he starts digging, and he finds well after well after well after all the police are walking. What's going on with this guy? He finds every single well of water. Because that's Yitzchak Avinu and Avram Avinu's life, where everything is handed to them in a silver platter. Yaakov Avinu, I mean, look at his life. He didn't get married until he was 83.
14 years.
He worked for 20 years, for the extra 6, 20 years, to be able to come out with what he had. Granted, he had a little bit of bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu helped him get the right sheep. 20 years he worked. 20 years at the age of 77 to 97. He didn't get out until he was 97 years old working to be able to make the money that he had. Guys, he had a kid that was raped. It's a kid that was raped. That's an unreal. Well, who has a life like that? And then his children got into a huge, massive fight to the point where they sold one of their brothers down to Mitzrayim and he lost him. His favorite, I don't even know how to describe that, his favorite brother for 22 years. That's Yaakov Avinu's life. He's paving the road for us for Golus. This is what Golus is all about. We don't get it. It's hard. Avram and Yitzchak, they live the easy lives. First base to make their life. Second base to make their life. Yaakov is living Golus. That's what it is. Loving for Bavel and Esau for the rest of time for Edom. That's what he is. That's what he's all about. The Malachim are Machnia to the Kokos of the Shvatim. There's ultimate Shalom at the very end, but it's hard. Well, Yasha pointed this out in such an unbelievable line.
Lose life because he complains to Aaron.
That's why. Anybody else would never have complained, but here's the shot why. Yachminu's whole life is about Golos. So when Paro looked at him, he said, oh my gosh, you've been through Gehenim. Like, what's wrong with you? He said, Yachminu said, that's my life. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm leading on to my kids. That's exactly what happened. And hopefully that little bit of shortening of life was what it meant for Mashiach to come a little bit earlier. Hopefully that's what it means. He died at 147 instead of 180. That Mashiach comes just that much closer. Maybe that's what it is. Rabbi Yasha points this out, and it's brilliant. I think I said it last year, maybe the year before. I don't remember, but it's brilliant. Such a matzav. Even when he was down in the ground, being chased by Esau, almost killed by Eliphaz. Remember? Eliphaz came over to him. Can you imagine that conversation, by the way? Eliphaz comes back to his dad, Esau. And Esau says to him, so did you kill him? And he's like, sorta. What do you mean, sorta? Well, I made him poor. And when you're poor, it's like you're dead. He says, like, what the heck? You didn't kill him? I killed him halachically. Like, you know the Gemara and Nedarim. Crazy line, I can't believe it. But even in such a matzav where he has no money, he's lying on the ground with a rock underneath his head. A rock! Who sleeps with a rock underneath their head? Yet still, the sun set early for him. Kfitzas HaDerech happened. The land was folded underneath him. 12 stones turned into one. He had dreams of Malachim. He had oil in his hands afterward. Unbelievable miracles. All while that happened. And yet, says Eliashiv, points out, the 12 rocks didn't turn softer. Yaakov Avinu woke up in the morning. He's like, oh man, oh, it's one rock. Shkoyach, I could have used a pillow. One pillow. That's all I could have used. I need 12 rocks. 12 rocks turned into one. Shadi is that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is with you even when times are bad, and you will still see miracles. You just might not see the miracle that you want. You'll see different types of miracles. That's the pshat. It's unbelievable. Even when there's times of pain, that's such a great line from Rebbe Yashiv. Even when there's crazy times of pain, at the end, it's all going to be okay. Because you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, even though it's not the soft pillow that you wanted underneath your head. That was such an unreal line. Such an unreal line. You still have to go to Lavan. Even after all that, even after the dream, you think the dream was like, so I'll take care of you, right? He didn't hear that. He went down to Lavan. Said 20 years. 20 years. Such an unbelievable... Okay, let's explain another part of the Parsha. And this part of the Parsha is just as good. Rachel and Leah. You know, every person has three names during their lifetime. The name that you're born with, the name that other people will call you when they see you, and the name that you have at the end where you're mitzaken all your chasronos and you fix up everything you were supposed to do. That's from the Me'ashiloch, the Ishvitzer. Now originally, there was a chachma in the world that they used to look at the child when the child was born, and they all had this bit of Ruach HaKodesh. We still have a bit of Ruach HaKodesh nowadays, we just don't get it. But you have this bit of Ruach HaKodesh that you looked at the child and you could immediately tell what he was going to be. A chacham or a tipesh, an atzel or a zaris. You could look at him and you say, oh, that's what this kid is going to be. You saw it within him. Even a man like Lavan was able to tell what exactly they were and could name appropriately. Why Rachel? Rachel is a name that comes from a pasuk in Yeshaya, Nun Gimel Zayin. And like a sheep right before it's sheared, she's silent. Can you imagine a sheep right before it's sheared? Just like, oh my gosh, not again. Like sitting there. And he's sitting there and he's freezing cold. The wool is being taken off its body and she's saying like, I'm freezing. I'm absolutely freezing. Stop it. Don't do it. But it holds back intrinsically. Holds back and it doesn't let anything out. That's what it means by Rachel. Rachel means hold everything in and don't let it out. That's what Rachel means. Leah means nil'ah. As in weakened and thirsted for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word. I want to hear what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to say. Sometimes a person has to change themselves because these midos that you're born with are not always the best. But if you make them good, if you make them really, really good, they can become the greatest midos that you have. Similar to Avram becoming Avraham, and Yaakov becoming Yisrael, and Sarai becoming Sarah and Yehoshea. No, it's Hosea. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking because of the pasuk in what's it called, the Miko, what he's called, without the hay. It's called Yoshea. But yeah, Hosea ben Nun is called Yoshua. Rachli menu daven, and we know she can daven. I mean, we all know, right? Mama Rachel can cry for us again, and we know that everything that she does is going to work in Shemayim. So how did she not have a child? She's such a powerful davener. How did she not have a child at first? What was the pshat? And then she goes up to Yaakov. The pasuk says that she went up to Yaakov and she complained to Yaakov. She said, it's all your fault. It's all your fault. If not for you, I would be able to have a child. You have to daven for me. And Yaakov said to her, it has nothing to do with me. You daven yourself. It is all you. It's absolutely you. And he yells at her. Yichar af Yaakov Barakov Ayomer. Hasakago Kimanoki. What am I, God? Ashamani meich privatan? Well, what am I? So then she went ahead and did something else. She went somewhere else. Let's try to understand what happens over here. This is a crazy, crazy type concept. Here's the pshat behind Rachel Yemenu. The pasuk says, "Vatakani Rachel ba'akusa." Rachel was jealous of her sister. And then she complained to Yaakov right after that. So here's what Yaakov said to her. She said, how do I know what kind of jealousy you have? Maybe you're jealous, and it's a bad thing. You're Rachel, and holding back your jealousy on the inside, and that's a bad thing. I don't know if you're good or bad. That Rachel, you have to understand something about tefillah. Tefillah works on a level that you're on. Not karov Hashem l'chol karov. On a level that you're on, tefillah only works if you fix up those things that are wrong with you. If you still have something wrong with you and you start davening, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You have to fix it up. It's like trying to dig through the ground with your very bare hands. It's not going to work unless you're a badger. There's no way you're going to be able to do such a thing. It's not going to happen. Why? Because you can do it all you want. You're in the wrong place. You've got the wrong tools. Rachel, find out what's wrong with you and fix that and then go back and daven. And then you're going to be fine. She said, I know. If I was jealous, you know the way to get rid of jealousy? Show that I'm not jealous. So she gave Yaakov Avinu her maidservant. The very next pasuk, Vatiten lo es bila shivchasa leisha. That's the pshat. That all is Mishigibilo. She showed, I'm not jealous in a bad way. I want shvatim. I want to be part of the system. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to do your will by having these children. That's why I want to do this. Not because I'm jealous of Leah. It has nothing to do with Leah. And even then she wasn't listened to. Until the very end, when she said to Leah, you take my husband for the night. Give me Dudayim. I just want to have a baby. When she gave up her night to Leah, that's when she was zocha to have a baby. That's when we saw that the kinah that she had was a pure type of kinah. A kinah soaked from tarbet chokhmah that only helps. And at that point, now it became something good in which yagata umatsasa taminbo. Yagata v'lomatsasa. She tried so hard and she never found a child. What happened? Yagata v'lomatsasa means you tried the wrong way. You were digging in the wrong spot. You were asking the wrong tefillah. Yagata v'lomatsasa? Al taminbo. Don't believe it. That means you messed up in the beginning. It's like digging in the ground. You could try as hard as you want. It's not going to happen. Yagata umatsasa taminbo. That's the concept. Then there's Leah. Leah stood for lo yagata umatsasa. She didn't try hard and yet she found everything. Look, she didn't daven for anybody. All of a sudden she got four kids. Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. She didn't even try at all. What's pshat? Pshat is don't al taminbo. Al taminbo. Don't believe it. Don't believe that she didn't try. Leah worked darn hard for her children. And she was Zocha because she didn't have any bad mitos. Her tefillos were answered immediately. She didn't have anything wrong with her. And that's why she was answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew she worked so hard for the first three. And when you work so hard for the first three, God gives you a gift of number four. And Leah recognized that. She saw the fourth kid. Now I have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehuda was not shayach to this world the same way the Yitzchakin wasn't shayach to this world. Yehuda is pure mitos adin in a different way. In the way called Malchus. A different type of idea. She was a gift. That was a gift. It wasn't a normal child. And Leah knew that because she worked so hard for the first three. Now she gets a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why it says by Shimon Levi, it says the word Vatar Od. And she became pregnant again. By Vatar Od, by each one of them. It's Vatar Od is, where is it? Vatar Od is Munach Zarko. She threw Munach Zarko. She threw her own peckle, so to speak, in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. By both of them, it's that way. By Yehuda, Pasuk Lamed Hei, Vatarod, Kadmo Ve'azwa. Kadmo Ve'azwa. Then it just came back right to her. The Kadmo Ve'azwa is one thing like that, and one thing like that. The Pashta and the backwards Pashta. Why? Pshat is, you gave, HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws it right back at you. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing for you. That's from the Me'ash Yibach. What an unbelievable line, and that's the concept of Yehuda, and that's our Shemone Esrei. The Kone HaKol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shaykes to everyone. The Zocher Chas the Avos. And he remembers the chesed of the Avos, that everything the Avos did is going to come right back to us. Umehi Goal Livnei B'nehem. And he's going to bring a Redeemer for his children, right? Because of the Avos, right? Laman Shmo. He's going to do it for himself. HaKadosh Baruch will not bring Mashiach in the schus of the Avos. He will not bring Mashiach in the schus of any person alive. He's going to do it purely for his own sake. Why? Because when a person davens for something, that thing that he davens for has limitations. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it, it's given without limit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that. So he gave the first three children because the Leah is davening. The fourth child is without limits. Mashiach ben David. That's Yehuda. If we daven for something, he'll give us everything. But Mashiach has to come from him. So that Mashiach can be limitless. Mashiach ben Yosef will come from our tefillahs. And our tefillahs allows there to be a Mashiach, allows the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt, maybe even allows the Arabs to be kicked out of the land in some way, shape, or form. But it will not give us our permanent peace. Permanent peace will only be given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He has to give it, and that's the pshat behind Laman Shmo B'Yavon. That's what we're saying. Every person's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unique based on that. And that's the concept of what we're doing. So here's the summary. Each Av had their own mission in finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each Av found it and did something special. Yaakov Avinu's job was to find Hashem in Golus and Choshech. And his power is for us today. We use it and we improve because of it. Rachel's tefillahs were only accepted after she worked on herself, after she made herself as great as she was. And number four, once you work and tefillahs are accepted, an extra gift is given over to you. An extra gift is handed over to you after you work so hard and you receive your gift. You'll be given even more. And that's a promise, and it'll be something that's limitless. That's the concept. If you're worthy, it'll be the most tremendous gift you'll ever receive. That should be the end of the share. Have a good Shabbos, guys.